This morning I'll be bringing the reading from Mark chapter 15, and you can find this also on the Church Bible on page 829. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So, as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. But he learned from the centurion that it was so. He gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of that week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go. Tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Then, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello and good morning, everyone. My name is Scott. I'm the pastor here at Trinity Church, Parra Hills. Happy Easter to you all. I'm glad to be with you this morning. Death really is a horrible thing, isn't it? I read a story in the news this week about this young woman from Adelaide. Her name's Annalise, 26 years old. She's been sick all her life, and just recently she's been diagnosed with a very rare illness, and for her it's terminal. She hasn't got much longer to live. Imagine being in her shoes at 26 years old. The reporter who wrote this story talked about Annalise as being someone who was quite light-hearted, a very warm personality, someone who liked to laugh a lot. And despite her diagnosis, which is very grim, she's got a very positive attitude about the time that she has. She wants to make the most of this time. She's got a bucket list, things she's ticking off, things she wants to do. And she's still trying to make things better for others who are going to come after her. So she's raising awareness about people that people can get terminal illness even at a very young age, and there's a bunch of options open and available to them if they do. To see someone in this situation and to hear that they're still looking out, being positive, it's quite inspiring, isn't it, I think? Now, I want to come back to her story in a moment, but before we get there, we're going to walk through another story, that is Jesus' story. Like Annalise, Jesus knew that he was going to die, but for Jesus, it was not a terminal illness that he was facing. And we saw part of Jesus' story on Good Friday a couple of days ago. We heard that Jesus went to Jerusalem knowing that he would be killed there. And he did die, but his death was not an ordinary death, because he died for us. He died as our ransom price, as our substitute. He died to bring us back to God. These are things we heard on Friday. But for Jesus, his story doesn't end on Friday. Today we're digging through what happened after Jesus' death. And it's a story of unusual things happening. I mean, Jeff just read it out to us, and I reckon I picked up at least four unusual things that happened in that story. Let's work our way through them. we pick things up today actually just after Jesus died. There was a quick move to get Jesus into the grave because Jesus was a Jewish person and he's living in a Jewish land. And for the Jews, their Sabbath, it's their day of rest. It starts when the sun goes down on Friday afternoon. And so they had to get him in the grave before then. And then in chapter 16, verse 1, the Sabbath has ended. That would make it Saturday evening, just as the sun has gone down on Saturday. And three women on Saturday night, they go off someplace they know to buy some spices, because tomorrow morning and the Sunday morning, they're going to anoint Jesus' body. And then very early on the Sunday morning, they get up, they go to the tomb where Jesus' body has been buried, which is where we come across the first unusual thing, the stone. See, Jesus wasn't buried 6 feet under. As Jaffrey, we heard, Jesus was placed in a tomb that had been cut out of rock. And to keep, you know, the smell and the decay and the disease in there, they'd roll a big stone in front so no one could get in, no one could get out. But the women seem to have forgotten about it. It's only when they're on their way to the tomb that they remember. In verse 3, they say, who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us? They realize they can't possibly move this stone, so who will? But when they get there, something unusual has happened. In verse 4, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Unexpected, right? Unusual thing happening here. What's going on? And then we get to the second unusual thing. There's a strange guy in the tomb. See, the women, when they see that the stone's been rolled away, they start walking down into it. But then there's someone already there. Who is this? Women, they've been following Jesus for a long time, right? They know the people that are part of this group. They know who's been with Jesus. And this guy that's sitting there is not one of them. What's he doing? Who is he? Actually, the more you think about it, the more you realize this is probably not a man at all, actually. It says he's dressed in a white robe, and when the women see him, they're alarmed. Now, in the Bible, well, angels are the ones that actually are often dressed in white. And when people see angels, they get frightened, even alarmed. It's unusual, but what we're seeing here, this man in the tomb, is actually most likely an angel come from God. And if that's not enough, what the angel says is even more unusual. This is our third unusual thing here. See in verse 6, what the angel says, he says, you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. That is, we're talking about the same Jesus here, you know, the one who was crucified, not someone else who's also called Jesus. Yeah, in the band this morning, we've got two Marks. You may not know this. We've got two Marks in the band. One's playing guitar, one's playing drums. You don't want to get them mixed up. Have you ever heard a drummer on guitar? Even the drummer's saying no, see? And the angel's saying, we haven't got things mixed up here. You're looking for the right Jesus, the one who was crucified, not some other Jesus. And what does he say about this Jesus? He's risen. He's not here. That's extremely unusual, right? It's good. Who'd ever heard of such a thing? It's not normal for dead people to get up, right? Like, have you ever seen that? No, of course not. And yet the angel is saying that's what's happened to Jesus. He's not here. Because he's risen. This is bizarre. And then comes the fourth unusual thing, which is how Mark ends his entire book about the life of Jesus. See, the angel, he tells the women, you know, what you need to do now is go and tell the disciples, but they don't. Verse 8 says, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And that's it. Full stop. The end. Nothing more. That's how Mark finishes his book on the life of Jesus. Now, I know that I'm not an author. But even I can tell that's not the way to end a book, is it? That's not the way to end a story. That's not the way to end a report. What's going on? This is unusual, isn't it? In fact, this is so unusual that someone else has come along later and tried to make a better ending for Mark, tried to change it, tried to add an extra bit on. So if you have a Bible open, you'll notice that actually chapter 16 has 12 more verses. But before we get to those, there's a note in our Bibles that says something like this. The earliest manuscripts and some other ancient witnesses do not have verses 9 to 20. That is, Mark didn't write these verses. These 12 extra verses weren't there. Someone realized he made a bad ending and wanted to fix it up for him. And so they just had a crack and added these little bits later on. Because it's such an unusual ending. Is it, what's going on here? And at this point, it's probably worth me saying a little bit more on this. Because we can hear this and we can think, well, how much more of the Bible is like this? How much more of the Bible has just been added later? Yeah, how much of it was actually really there at the start? And well, can we actually really believe any of it then, if bits and pieces are just added on willy-nilly? But I want to say, actually, I reckon seeing this in our Bibles should make us have the opposite reaction. Instead of distrust of the Bible, it should make us trust the Bible even more. You see, we know verses 9 to 20 aren't part of Mark's original book. And we know this because we have so many ancient copies, so many ancient manuscripts, which is why we can tell this bit was added later. So actually, rather than make us worrying about the Bible, this should help us trust the Bible. This should give us confidence in the Bible. We have so many ancient manuscripts, so many ancient copies, we can actually tell if someone's added bits and pieces on. And here's the hint. Where it is, we can tell it really clearly, and this doesn't happen in the Bible. What we have in our Bibles today is still the original. So yes, it's an unusual way for Mark to end his book. In fact, if we're honest, this whole chunk that Jaff has read out for us today is quite unusual itself. Most of all, the fact that it talks about a dead man coming back to life. I mean, that's not just unusual. Many people will say today, that's unbelievable. And if you're a bit skeptical about this yourself, I can understand why. Again, you know, dead people, they stay dead, right? We don't see them come back to life. Not ever. But there are a few details that Mark gives us. A few details in his book that should make us think twice that maybe, after all, this did happen. Here's a couple of details from Mark's report. Let me give the first one. For example, Mark shows us that Jesus really did die, which is important because some people have said Jesus didn't rise from the dead because he was never really dead in the first place. You know, maybe he looked dead and maybe he was, you know, so kind of wounded and hurt that it led to him being maybe in a deep coma or in some kind of unconsciousness or something like that. But then later on, he came back too, and people thought, well, he's risen. They celebrated, but actually he never really died. It was all, it's just the fact that he was never dead in the first place, so there's no resurrection, right? That's the kind of idea that people say. But Mark gives us little details to help us know, actually, well, Jesus did die. You know, Jaff read out to us the bit where Jesus was put in the tomb, and we heard that Pilate, he was the Roman governor of the area, the guy in charge. Pilate was surprised to hear that Jesus was dead. And so he asked the centurion, you go and make sure he's dead. And the centurion brings back the report, and he says, no, Jesus is dead. And only then does Pilate release Jesus' body. Mark wants us to see that Jesus really did die. And also, Mark gives us little details that show us the women went to the right tomb where Jesus was buried. Which again is important because some people have said, well, yes, Jesus really did die, sure, but he wasn't raised to life. You see, when they went to the tomb, there was no body there, but that's because they went to the wrong tomb. If they had gone to the right tomb, they would have found Jesus' body and the whole thing would have just washed over in an instant. But Mark, he gives us these little details in his report that help us see, no, the women knew where they were going. they knew the right tomb to go to because, well, first of all, the tomb belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. We don't know much about him, but Mark tells us he was a prominent member of the council. This is a Jewish ruling group. That is, Joseph is a rich person. He's got a higher place in society. So any tomb he owns is not going to be on the back streets, kind of where nobody ever goes and where nobody ever really sees what happens. No, Joseph's tomb is going to be a prominent one, in an important place, in a well-known part of town. And the women who go to the tomb first, well, they see everything that happened to Jesus along the way. In chapter 15, verse 40, we hear that the two Marys and Salome, they saw Jesus die. In chapter 15, verse 47, the same two Marys see Jesus being placed in the tomb. And then in chapter 16, verse 1, it's these two Marys and Salome again who go to the tomb on the Sunday morning. These little details that Mark is using in his report, and they show us, you know, Jesus' tomb, it's in a well-known place, and the women knew which one to go to. That is, they're not going to the wrong tomb. When they went to the tomb, Jesus' body wasn't there. They went to the right tomb, and Jesus' body was not in it. And then Mark also gives us a little detail to help us see that the resurrection story was not made up by his followers. Because that's probably the most common thing you could hear, right? That, you know, dead people don't come back to life. So Jesus didn't rise from the dead again. His followers just must have made this whole thing up. But what are some of the details Mark shows us? Well, when the women come to the tomb, what are they expecting? A dead Jesus, right? That's why they bring the spices to anoint his body. And when the angel tells them that Jesus is risen, they don't say, "Oh, of course, isn't that great news? Hallelujah." No, no, no. They run off. They're scared and frightened. They are not expecting to hear anything like this. And Mark also shows us that the women are, well, women, which you and I don't think of much today. But back then, women were thought of as people who were not reliable witnesses. Now, I know that we're going to hear that today and we think, well, that's just wrong, isn't it? Wrong-headed, wrong idea. And I'm not trying to endorse that at all, but that was the thinking of the time. So if you were back in Mark's day when you were writing this report, if you were around when Jesus was around, and if you were going to make this whole story up, who would you choose to be the first people to hear about the resurrection? Who would be your key witnesses? Well, whoever you're choosing, you're not choosing women, are you? But Mark tells us they were the first to hear. They're the key witnesses, according to Mark. Because he isn't trying to make things up to sound good. He's just telling us what happened. Now, there's more we could say about these kinds of things. But the point I want to make is, yes, this is an unusual story. But it's not an untrue story. You might know this. When white people started to live in Australia, they came across this animal here, the platypus. They'd never seen anything like it. It was so strange, so unusual. And so they would send back some platypus back to England for the scientists in England to study it. And when the English scientists who first studied it, they saw this, they called it a fake. This is not real. They were convinced someone had got bits and pieces of different animals and stitched it all together to put this thing. Because it's so unusual, surely this couldn't be real, right? But we know that it is. Platypuses are an unusual creature, but they're not fake. It's the same with the story about Jesus. It's an unusual story, but it's not fake. An unusual story, but not untrue. It's an unusual story, but actually Jesus said this was going to happen to him. A bit earlier in Mark's book, he records three times when Jesus was teaching his disciples. And he's told them three times that this was going to happen to him. In chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus, he says he was going to suffer, be rejected, be killed, and then rise after 3 days. Or in chapter 9, verse 31, Jesus said he was going to be delivered into the hands of men. They'd kill him, and after 3 days, he would rise again. Or again, in chapter 10, Jesus was going to Jerusalem. He'd be delivered over. He'd be condemned to death. He'd be killed. And 3 days later, he'd rise again. It's an unusual story. I get it. But it's one that Jesus said would happen. In fact, this is why Jesus said he came. He came to die and rise again. Because his resurrection makes a huge difference to life. It's an unusual story, but it makes a huge difference. And I want to say it makes a huge difference in at least four ways. Four things. Firstly, Jesus' resurrection is a vindication of Jesus. It's proving that Jesus was right all along. You know, his whole trial before the courts, the legal system of the day, that was a scam. It was all crooked. It was a kangaroo court. And they got it wrong because we know Jesus is innocent and yet he was executed. But Jesus' resurrection is a vindication. It's God saying, no, the courts got it wrong. I'm putting things right. So Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose again. And Jesus is vindicated. He's shown to be the one who speaks the truth, who's right when he speaks things. You know, I just went through the three big times that Jesus predicted what would happen to him and what actually happened. It went down exactly like he said. As Jesus' resurrection shows us, he's right. He's the one who speaks truth. In which case, we would do really well to listen to him. Secondly, Jesus' resurrection shows us that he's not your average bloke. Let me ask a question here. Hands up. Hands up if you've ever seen someone who's come back from the dead. No hands up. Okay. Of course not. Because we know this is not a normal thing, right, if this happens. It happens to Jesus. Jesus is not your average bloke. In fact, all through his book on Jesus' life, Mark has been saying this about Jesus, that Jesus is not a normal person, but Jesus is actually, Mark calls him the Christ or the Messiah. The Jewish people of the time were expecting and waiting for someone called their Messiah to come along. And when he came, he would do great things. He'd be a king. Not like the kind of kings who just look after themselves and make money for themselves and enslave the people. But this would be a good king, one who does what's good for his people. And he'd be king not just over one little part of the world, but over the whole world. And he'd do good for all people of all nations. And he'd do this forever. Jesus' resurrection shows us that he is that Messiah. He is the one who can rule forever because he's beaten death, so he now lives forever. See, Jesus' resurrection shows he is not just any old person. He's not your average bloke. Third thing, that Jesus' resurrection shows us that death is not the end. You might know Jerry Seinfeld. He's a comedian from America. He's very funny. He has a bit where he talks about fears that humans have. And he says, you know, they've done this research and they've shown, do you know what the number one fear that people have in life is? Public speaking. I'm really nervous on the inside, right? No, I'm not actually. It's okay. Public speaking is number one. And what's number two? Death. And so he says, get this right. Number two is death. So at the funeral, people would prefer to be the one in the coffin than the one having to stand up and give the eulogy, right? Of course, we know that's not true. We know that death is far more scary. We all have a fear of death, don't we? This is where I want to go back to the story of Annalise from before. Very positive person. Even in the face of dying at such a young age from a cruel disease, she's facing this head on with a smile on her face. But even she admits it's not always like this for her. Here's what she told the reporter. She said, "If I really think about it at night, it kind of messes with me. We don't know what happens after we close our eyes. So I'm a little scared in that sense." You feel what she's thinking there, don't you? You feel the same thing as her. Death is scary. But Jesus' resurrection changes things. Because Jesus' resurrection shows us death is not the end. There is more beyond. We can know what happens after we close our eyes in death. We can have hope, a sure and certain hope, that if we're with Jesus, there is life. That's what he offers to us. Hope in this life, but also hope beyond this life. A sure and certain hope of life even after death. Which leads to the fourth thing, right? This is really good news. Because none of us are looking forward to death. But Jesus brings us the sure and certain hope of life beyond death. This is really good news. And this is really good news for everyone. This is why Mark ends his book so suddenly. The women are told to go and tell the disciples, but trembling and bewildered, they flee. They don't say anything to anyone because they're afraid. And Mark ends right there. Now, we know their silence doesn't last forever. The other parts of the Bible, they tell us that women, they do end up going to the disciples and they tell them what they've seen and they've heard. But Mark ends his book where he does because he wants to make us feel something. This is good news. This is really good news for everyone, right? Surely the women can't keep this to themselves, can they? Surely they don't. Surely they go and tell others, don't they? And in fact, now that I've heard this news, how can I stay silent about it? Now that I know this, I can't keep it to myself either, can I? Don't I need to tell others as well? Because this is really good news. And this is really good news for every person. And I wanted to make a plea now to you. You might be here today with us, and you're not someone who is a follower of Jesus. If that's you, can I firstly, I just want to say, welcome. We are glad you're here. We're glad you've spent your Easter Sunday morning with us. Great to have you amongst us. And secondly, here's my plea. Why not keep exploring Jesus for yourself? I realize today I haven't had time to say everything I'd like to say, and you might not be ready to just go all in with Jesus just yet. So I wanted to invite you to life. This is something at our church that we do for people who are just like you, people who want to properly figure out Jesus for themselves. And we're going to get together over 4 Tuesday nights in May. I know that's a little while away, but surely it gives you plenty of time to clear your diary. And over those 4 Tuesday nights in May, we're just going to go through the key things, the most important things about Jesus. So help you really investigate, is this guy someone I can throw my life in with? Dave will back up a bit later on and he'll tell you a bit more about that. But I just want to make sure I extend my invite to you. We'd love to have you there with us. I have a second plea. This is my second plea. For those of us who are followers of Jesus, are convinced about him, I want to let you know, I say this as much to myself as I'm going to say it to you right now. Jesus is risen. This is good news, isn't it? And it's good news for the world around us. Let's not be those who stay silent and keep this to ourselves. Where we have opportunity, let's speak this truth. Let's help more people get to know this really, really good news. Let me pray for us. Our great God in heaven, you have given us so much through our Lord Jesus. We heard on Friday that his death brings us forgiveness. We hear today from your word that his resurrection gives us the sure and certain hope of life, even life after death. And so, our great God, we pray with gratitude to you for this, thanking you for what you have done for us through Jesus. We know that death is a scary prospect, and yet you've given us hope and certainty of life with you beyond death. So we thank you for Jesus and pray we'd cling to this news and pray this news would ring out from us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.